I am now going to read from my cousin sister Rambanai. We spent interminable days waiting for a new birth certificate, before we waited for a new ID card, and then finally a new passport. Our mission began in Makombe Building, where Rambanai procured the first proof of a new existence in the form of a Republic of Zimbabwe birth certificate. We waited among infants crying at their mother's exposed breasts, and we listened to the voices of the desperate. I have traveled all this way. Please, just help me, Mkwasha. Imeambuya, there's nothing we can do if you do not produce the child. How do we know the child exists if we do not see it? What would be the point of lying about a non-existent child? It is not as though I get anything from the government. Why would I say I have a child when I don't? If you have this child, why not just bring it? Ne Mkwasha, kana murimi. How can I possibly bring a child to wait in this heat? The man pointed at the red-faced babies crying in the heat. Huh? So are these not babies? What is so special about yours that you cannot bring it here? Makashara chidoma. The babies wailed, their mothers pulled them to their breasts and sat down on the chairs and on the ground to feed them, and the babies sucked down the smell from a nearby broken sewer with their mother's milk. We did not wait long among the new mothers, who were soon ushered into one of the offices. The man assisting us was all smiles as he said, "Have you prepared my parcel?" When Rambanai handed him an envelope, he opened it, took out the wad of notes, stuck his finger to his tongue and with an expert hand counted out the money. He made a phone call. While he asked Rambanai about America, a young man came with an envelope which contained the birth certificate of Langelihle Shantau Ndlukula, born on the date Rambanai had dictated, which was 2 years after the year of her real birthday. "I have always wanted to be born in December," Rambanai said. "This way I can be a Capricorn. And look, I won't turn 30 for at least 5 years." This was only the first part. She needed a new ID, and a similarly stuffed envelope secured her a metal ID in record time. That river crossed, we headed towards the grey bungalow which housed the passport office and waited outside window number 6 to process the application. The place was crawling with street kids who acted as placeholders in the queues while people slept, ate or relieved themselves, and who also offered the benefits of their experience to the waiting applicants. A boy no older than 12 shouted out instructions as more people joined the queue. Make sure you have everything, long birth certificate, ID, father's ID, mother's ID, mother's and father's death certificate if deceased, marriage certificate if married, husband's ID if married, one passport form, 2 photographs. Hands must be clean for the fingerprints. Naingwanangu, a troubled elderly woman asked him. They surely can't want to see the father's ID. Does that apply even to us, old as we are? There is no one without a father, the boy said. To another woman he said, as for you, sister, I can tell you right away you are wasting your time. They won't accept your photos. You need to show your ears. As Rambanai and I got nearer to window number 6, we heard a dreadlocked man shouting, "But it is my religion! This is my religion!" The woman he shouted at was protected from his anger by a metal grill. "Yes, yes," she said and bit into a biscuit. "It may well be your religion, but that has nothing to do with your passport. We do not allow dreadlocks." To the woman who approached her after the dreadlocked man, she said, Mototo Rwazimwe, sister, you are smiling in those pictures. You cannot smile in your passport photo. The message spread through the queue. No dreadlocks, artificial hair or any other headgear. No smiling pictures. "Ha, why would you be smiling for a passport photo?" the street kid said with contempt in the direction of the departing smiler. And to the dreadlocked man, "As for you, get a haircut."